I want to thank all the labor unions here in Dane County that help keep SlysOffice.com up and going so you keep up to date. Whether it be the Madison Firefighters, Local 311, or the Madison Teamsters, Local 695, or our friends at Madison Teachers Incorporated. These are some of the most active local unions who organize, and constantly stand up for workers. Thank you from SlysOffice.com.
When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
Welcome to another podcast at SlysOffice.com, brought to you by our friends at the Operating Engineers, Local 139, Madison Teamsters, Local 695, MTI, and of course, Madison Firefighters, Local 311. Joining us now, John Nichols from the Capital Times and the Nation. So how did you enjoy the WWE event in Las Vegas?
You know,
produced by Vince McMahon.
It would have been great if, you know, it actually wouldn't have been that much different if McMahon had come out at the start and done one of his, you know, let's get ready to rumble kind of things, because it had that character from it. That it was by far the best debate.
Oh, yeah.
By a million miles, it was worth watching, right? And it was worth watching because of sort of a WWE characteristic. Why does it, you know, if you know, wrestling was just, you know, a bunch of moves, like they teach it in high school, it wouldn't be as gripping. You know, why it's gripping is because they keep upping the ante. It keeps getting crazier and wilder when you have WWE. And that's exactly what this was. So you start with Bernie Sanders, right, who has been waiting, you know, I mean, 77 years to run against a billionaire. And, you know, he, like, kind of pretty much shreds Bloomberg in his initial answer. Literally the second sentence is on stop and frisk, right? And you thought, well, that's pretty rough. He went right at him immediately. And then they go to Elizabeth Warren, who, you know, literally gets up on the, you know, on the ropes, right, and then jumps. And it is one of the most stunning things, one of the more perfectly prepared moments in a national debate.
Well, let's play some of the clips.
Let's do that.
Okay.
I'd like to talk about who we're running against. A billionaire who calls women fat broads and horse-faced lesbians. And no, I'm not talking about Donald Trump. I'm talking about Mayor Bloomberg. Democrats are not going to win if we have a nominee who has a history of hiding his tax returns, of harassing women, and of supporting racist policies like redlining and stop and frisk. Look, I'll support whoever the Democratic nominee is. But understand this, Democrats take a huge risk if we just substitute one arrogant billionaire for another. This country has worked for the rich for a long time and left everyone else in the dirt. It is time to have a president who will be on the side of working families and be willing to get out there and fight for them. That is why I am in this race, and that is how I will beat Donald Trump.
Oh, there's the Elizabeth Warren we haven't heard for a while. All right, here's Bernie Sanders.
We can do better.
Senator Sanders, you know, are you polarizing?
If speaking to the needs and the pain of a long-neglected working class is polarizing, I think you got the wrong word. What we are trying finally to do is to give a voice to people who, after 45 years of work, are not making a nickel more than they did 45 years ago. We are giving a voice to people who are saying we are sick and tired of billionaires like Mr. Bloomberg seeing huge expansions of their wealth while 500,000 people sleep out on the street tonight. And that's so what we are saying, Pete, is maybe it's a time for the working class of this country to have a little bit of power in Washington rather than your billionaire campaign contributors.
Hey, all right, look.
Senators, I'm going to stay on this topic, on the culinary, on this issue with the.
All right. So, Bernie laid down his marker pretty early. Have you noticed, you know, MSNBC spends a lot of time talking about how scary Bernie is.
To his face. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Scary,
I haven't heard anyone refute when Bernie says that 60,000 people die every year because of lack of health care, and that 500,000 people are sleeping on the streets, and the top 1% wage, you know, growth in income and growth in prosperity, it keeps going up exponentially. I haven't heard anybody refute any of those things. Are they okay with that?
Well, obviously they are. I mean, they don't like it, right? I mean, and so the key phrase you use there is, are they okay? When you say, are you okay with that? That doesn't mean you approve per se. It doesn't mean you love it, you know, stuff. But you can live with it, you know what I mean?
Because
the fact is, Sly, they have lived with it, you know, for a long time. They haven't made it so central. And just to emphasize one point there. In the 1950s, when TV was just getting started, Edward R. Murrow did things like Harvest of Shame. You know, he went out and literally focused on poverty and the oppression of workers. And it had profound impact. I mean, we literally changed laws as a result. Movements developed as a result. And most of our media now doesn't do that. And so, yeah, Sanders and Warren, to some extent as well, they're jarring to these hosts and moderators because these folks just aren't used to somebody saying, you know, there's an actual crisis going on, and it is our economics.
So, overall, what did you think of who came out at the end of the evening that's going to actually make a tangible impact? Not, of course, so many people have already voted in Nevada, and it is Nevada. So many people have already voted, but who do you think actually made a tangible impact on their chances last night?
Yeah, absolutely. It's pretty clear that Elizabeth Warren, who, not after the New Hampshire primary, but after the New Hampshire debate, you know, that debate the Friday night before the New Hampshire primary, was being really written off as sort of, you know, just didn't seem to be fighting, or didn't seem to be fighting hard enough at a point where she needed to do it. In this debate, she, I think, erased all of those concerns. She not only came out fighting, but she was really, really, really good at it. And the highlight of it was a little bit further into the debate where she deposed Mike Bloomberg on stage. They were talking about the non-disclosure agreements.
I've got that right here. Here we go.
Senator Warren, you've been critical of Mayor Bloomberg on this issue.
Yes, I have, and I hope you heard what his defense was. I've been nice to some women. That just doesn't cut it. The mayor has to stand on his record, and what we need to know is exactly what's lurking out there. He has gotten some number of women, dozens, who knows, to sign non-disclosure agreements, both for sexual harassment and for gender discrimination in the workplace. So, Mr. Mayor, are you willing to release all of those women from those non-disclosure agreements so we can hear their side of the story?
We have a very few non-disclosure agreements.
How many is that?
Let me finish.
How many is that?
None of them accuse me of doing anything other than maybe they didn't like the joke I told. And let me put, there's agreements between two.
You know, we talk about electability, right, and everybody up here wants to beat Trump.
So he did not have the crowd with him last night.
No, maybe they didn't like a joke. Well, yeah, that is kind of...
Yeah, calling someone a horse-faced lesbian, some people don't think that's funny.
You know, that's sort of what we're talking about here, Mike. And, you know, it's... So she was great, and I will point out, incredibly enough, she didn't let go of that. You played a segment, and that's enough to get a flavor of it. She had the perfect line, he was nice to some women, which kind of shredded everything he had said in his defense. But then, powerfully and importantly, you asked who did themselves favors last night. Joe Biden, who had a significantly better debate than most of his previous debates, if you noticed in that segment, Warren was you know, deposing and really effectively taking Bloomberg down. Bloomberg was kind of giving these awful attempts at answers. And then at a certain point, Joe Biden basically said, oh, come on. and he backed Warren up 100% on
it. Yeah, since we're going with the WWE theme, that was a tag team, John.
It was, and it made it, Warren was winning that on her own. She didn't need help. But boy, when you turned the volume up on it in that way, and you had, you know, the former vice president of the United States, you know, kind of amplifying and supporting it, it really put Bloomberg in a corner there. So this became the interesting dynamic of the debate because, again, let's go to your core question, who helped themselves? I think Warren helped herself a great deal. There is a question at this point, as you say, kind of late in the voting and that, can she help herself enough? There's going to be a quick measure coming Saturday. If she finishes a solid second or third, then there's going to be a lot of talk about the renewal of her campaign, and this debate will be central to it. So that's a big deal.
Okay, so
let me just one quick other thing, too. I think Biden, who is the logical second-place finisher in Nevada, probably helped himself.
All right, well, let's play a clip of Biden.
Get something straight. The reason the stop and frisk change is because Barack Obama sent moderators to see what was going on. When we sent them there to say this practice has to stop, the mayor thought it was a terrible idea we send them there. A terrible idea. Let's get the facts straight. Let's get the order straight. And it's not whether he apologized or not. It's the policy. The policy was abhorrent. And it was, in fact, a violation of every right people have. And we are the one. Our administration sent in people to monitor it, and at the very time, the mayor argued against that. This idea that he figured out it was a bad idea. He figured out it was a bad idea after we sent in monitors and said it must stop. Even then, he continued the policy.
All right. So,
pretty good, right?
Yeah, right.
He should know the difference between a moderator and a monitor, but on balance, it was well delivered.
Yeah. All right. So that was an interesting component in that Warren needed to have a good night. Biden needed to have a good night.
Yep.
They both had good nights, but there's still a lot of people on that stage. And boy, it's hard to.
You know the good news, Sly?
Yeah.
Two of the people on that stage took care of one another.
Well, we'll get to that.
Okay.
That's coming.
Oh, you know.
that's coming. All right. Well, let's play a little bit of Mike Bloomberg here. He is talking about his tax record here.
Bloomberg on this transparency issue.
Very briefly on transparency,
Mayor Bloomberg, your campaign has said that you would eventually release your tax records
Yes.
when it comes to transparency. But people are already voting now. Why should Democratic voters have to wait?
It just takes us a long time. Unfortunately or fortunately.
Oh, can I comment on that?
Fortunately, I make a lot of money and we do business all around the world and we are preparing it. The number of pages will probably be in thousands of pages. I can't go to TurboTax, but I put out my tax return every year for 12 years in City Hall. We will put out this one. It tells everybody everything they need to know about every investments that I make and where the money goes. And the biggest item is all the money I give away. And we list that, every single donation I make. And you can get that from our foundation anytime you want.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all there is to it, John.
Well, in fairness to him, that was a horrible answer. Right? Because he didn't have it. You know, like how come rich guys never have their taxes together? You know, why is that? Why can't we just...
Because he can't use TurboTax.
Well, but didn't he file something last year? You know, I mean, I understand maybe he doesn't have his 2020 taxes all, you know, together, but they gave us last year's. That's probably good enough. I mean, he's only like $10 billion richer. So, in fairness, though, that was a terrible answer because he doesn't have it. When he actually, at the end of the day, he probably is better than Trump on this. He probably will ultimately release something. And he kind of explains with Drew. And did, you know, I mean, not well, but, he got through that. But interesting thing was in that segment, right, as it, you know, that kind of started developing into what I think is the point at which, and I'll argue this, that while Elizabeth Warren helped herself the most in this debate, without a question, I'm not sure Bernie Sanders didn't win the debate. And I'll tell you why. There was a point at which Mike Bloomberg was sort of talking about Sanders being extreme and, you know, talking about how, you know, he's the guy, Bloomberg created all this wealth and employed all, you know, did all these things, accomplished all these things. He's all how great Bloomberg is. And when Sanders came in there and said, you know, I'll just remind Mr. Bloomberg that maybe his employees, people who worked for him, had something to do
right
with making all that wealth. That exchange there was...
We'll play that. That's a perfect point. That's a perfect point to take a pause. We'll pick it up from there and play that when we come back at SlysOffice.com. The attorneys at Gingrich, Thompson, and Wachs have had the honor of receiving numerous awards for their work both in and outside the courtroom. But just as important as receiving accolades for being skilled attorneys, it's equally important to give back to the community in which they live and work. If you want a personal attorney that can help you in so many different areas, they've got them. They're in Eau Claire, Madison, Milwaukee, and Waukesha. They're easy to reach. GTWLawyers.com. That's GTWLawyers.com. Welcome back to SlysOffice.com, brought to you by our friends at Gingrich, Thompson, and Wachs, as well as Madison Computer Works and Jeff's Guitar Clinic. John Nichols from the Capital Times and The Nation with us. All right, we talked about Bernie versus Bloomberg on money. So this was kind of an interesting little battle. Let's see. Here it is, clip 62.
Art, what we need to do to deal with this grotesque level of income and wealth inequality is make sure that those people who are working, you know what, Mr. Bloomberg, wasn't you who made all that money. Maybe your workers played some role in that as well. And it is important that those workers are able to share the benefits. Also, when we have so many people who go to work every day and they feel not good about their jobs, they feel like cogs in a machine. I want workers to be able to sit on corporate boards as well, so they can have some say over what happens to their lives.
Mayor Bloomberg, you own a large company. Would you support what Senator Sanders is proposing?
Absolutely not. I can't think of a ways that would make it easier for Donald Trump to get reelected than listening to this conversation. It's ridiculous. We're not going to throw out capitalism. We tried that. Other countries tried that. It was called communism, and it just didn't work.
So let me make a proposal.
If you're going to run based on your record of voting in Washington,
right,
then you have to.
So
think about that exchange there, okay?
Think about that exchange. I like it when Bernie goes, whoa, 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 whoa. I like that.
I know. It's like, whoa, 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 whoa. I also like it. There was a point where, like, Biden was trying to get into the debate, and Bernie, like, threw in a couple Spanish words, and Biden, you know, it was like, there were a lot of points where Bernie showed, you know, how quick-witted he was on stage. But this was where, this was more of a case where Sanders went to a core belief of his, that workers should be empowered, right? That they shouldn't just be cogs in a machine. They should have some say in their workplace. That's economic democracy. It's what Franklin Roosevelt talked a lot about. It's even Harry Truman talked about. It's not a radical concept. It's not communism. It's not even socialism. There are, you know, many capitalist settings in which you do employee stock ownership programs and workers on boards. And Bloomberg's reaction to it, right, was viscerally negative. You know, this is what would reelect Trump. Like, somehow Trump's going to get reelected because you want to empower workers. I thought in that exchange, and you had the perfect clip there. It showed what Sanders is really, really good at.
Well, and it's
so
what
when Sanders was speaking, he couldn't finish the lines because the people kept bursting into applause.
Well, here's the thing: when you look at the latest NBC poll, Peter Hart did. Peter Hart's a pretty good pollster.
Good pollster.
Yeah. And this has not been repeated much, but the initial interview that Peter Hart did with Chuck Todd, when that came out, because it's an NBC poll, they match Bernie up against just Pete or Bloomberg or some of these other candidates. Everybody's talking about, oh, there's, you know, there's 60% of the parties in the moderate lane. Bernie beats every one of them one-on-one.
Well, Bernie beat Bloomberg, I think, by about 20 points.
So this isn't, this isn't lining up in these lanes that the media, you know, with all due respect to the Jennifer Palmieri's of the world, all these hacks that they brought back from the Clinton campaign, I don't think they've ever really grasped what people are attracted to Bernie about. I don't think they get it.
And I think what people are attracted by is exactly what he did right there. And also the fact that he comfortably says, you know, when they ask him, do you think billionaires should exist? He's like, yeah, I got a problem with billionaires.
He clearly does. All right, here.
And it works.
Here's another clip of Bernie.
You know, we talk about electability, and everybody up here wants to beat Trump. And we talked about stop and frisk, and we talked about the workplace that Mayor Bloomberg has established and the problems there. But maybe we should also ask how Mayor Bloomberg in 2004 supported George W. Bush for president, put money into Republican candidates for the United States Senate when some of us, Joe and I and others, were fighting for Democrats to control the United States Senate.
And
maybe we can talk about a billionaire saying that we should not raise the minimum wage, or that we should cut Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. If that's a way to beat Donald Trump, wow, I would be very surprised.
Thank you.
That was a great moment.
Yeah. Look, and there was a lot of them, and this is why I will suggest, it's an interesting thing, when we do debate analysis, there's really, you know, there's kind of two levels of analysis. One is, you know, who on just basic debating skills and, you know, intelligence, all these things, sort of move themselves forward. And that's what most of TV punditry does, right? But then there's also that deeper question of what's going to connect with voters. And the interesting thing is that what connects with voters may not be the wittiest line. It may not be the sharpest line. Sometimes it is. Where's the beef? Or something like that, you know. Sometimes you can hit it just right. But often it's simply a credibility, an intangible, a sense, wow, you know, there's a bunch of people up there. I kind of think that candidate gets me, right, or gets what my challenges are. And I would argue that in that instance, in some of those things that you did, the clips you just played, I will suspect that Sanders, to the extent that people were watching, right, connected very, very well with a lot of working class voters in Nevada, and probably was heard by quite a few people in South Carolina and Texas and California and other places that are going to vote pretty soon.
Well, let me tell you, if you've ever been to Reno,
I have,
and Carson City to some extent, they're not rich.
The people who came, you know, Nevada's a boom. But you know, the interesting thing about Nevada, this is when the Attorney General of Nevada was on one of the shows before the debate, and he was talking about how so many people come to Nevada to work, right? And this is a place of incoming because there are jobs, and they're often in entertainment, tourism, casinos. These are decent jobs if they're unionized, but these are worker jobs. These are jobs that workers do, right? And so it's as a state, it's a place where, to my mind, those Sanders appeals, again, in the clips you played just there, I actually think they're well heard.
All right. Now, there was the sideshow. There's the Klobuchar.
My favorite part, by the way.
Okay. So here we go.
Pass it to you.
Right.
Senator Klobuchar, you're running on your Washington experience, but last week in a Telemundo interview, you could not name the president of Mexico or discuss any of his policies. Last night, you defended yourself saying, quote, this isn't jeopardy. But my question to you is, shouldn't our next president know more about one of our largest trading partners?
Of course. And I don't think that that momentary forgetfulness actually reflects what I know about Mexico and how much I care about it. And I first want to say greetings to President López Obrador. What I meant by the game of Jeopardy is that I think we could all come up with things. You know, how many members are there in the Israeli Knesset? 120. Who is the president of Honduras? Hernandez.
Senator
when
Klobuchar.
It comes to Mexico, I am the one person on this stage that came out first to say I was for the U.S.-Mexican-Canadian trade agreement. That is going to be one of the number one duties of a president.
Senator Klobuchar,
is to implement
my
that.
Colleague is-
now, there's a real vote getter in that primary.
Yeah, pivoted right to. first off, I still can't pronounce the name of the guy.
Right, she still got it wrong.
She it sounded like she was reading it. President López.
No, she said López.
Awful, right? You know, it's terrible. And then I know how many members are on the Knesset, which is sort of like, really, that was kind of a deviation you didn't need to do. And then she's like struggling horribly, to get there. And her safety word, right, or this, the way out is to bring up a trade deal, right? that smart people voted against for a whole bunch of reasons. I know that there was division on it, but at the end of the day, that trade deal, I'm going to promise you, is going to end up like every other trade deal, better for billionaires than for workers.
Well, it's kind of built on the same platform. All right, yeah. Here's here is Pete Buttigieg.
If you're going to run based on your record of voting in Washington, then you have to own those votes, especially when it comes to immigration. You voted to confirm the head of Customs and Border Protection under Trump, who was one of the architects of the family separation policy. You voted to make English the national language. Do you know the message that sends in as multilingual a state as Nevada to immigrants? You have been unusual among Democrats, I think the Democrat among all of the senators running for president, most likely to vote for Donald Trump's judges, who we know are especially hostile to Dreamers and to the rights of immigrants. Now, in South Bend, it was not always easy to stand up in a conservative place like Indiana on immigration, but we delivered. We created a municipal ID program so that Dreamers and others who were undocumented were able to navigate everyday life. We stood up for those rights and...
Okay, blah, 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 blah.
I'm Mayor Mike Bloomberg, I'm Mayor Pete Buttigieg. And if you'll excuse me here, I'm going to throw my home state of Indiana under the bus. Because I'm running for president.
Okay, so this is hilarious. Klobuchar had a terrible evening. She was clearly rattled. Here's how she comes back.
I wish everyone was as perfect as you, Pete, but let me tell you what it's like to be in the arena. And number one, do the math. If my friend Andrew Yang was up here, that's what he'd say. In fact, I have opposed, I've not supported two-thirds of the Trump judges.
Okay. So, do you think she's really friends with Andrew Yang?
Everyone's friends with Andrew Yang.
I like Andrew Yang.
Now a CNN commentator, so people are going to like him even more.
You're so perfect.
With all due respect, I know you got a hate on Klobuchar.
I do.
But I'm going to disabuse you of it and say that was actually a really smart move. Mention Andrew Yang, who about 5% of people in a lot of states actually.
It's not going to get her Andrew Yang votes.
No, but this is the bottom line. I wish everyone was as perfect as you, Pete. That's what everyone on that stage wanted to say. And so while I agree with you,
okay, but he had just busted her, and I didn't know this. English is the official language. Are you?
Oh, no.
That's like
terrible.
That's like a Robin Voss policy.
I'm not in no way. This is not about defending Klobuchar. It is about saying that Klobuchar and Buttigieg were on, a tight wire. They're both struggling to get some kind of traction in Nevada and then in South Carolina that might get them through to Super Tuesday, right? And they both face some real challenges there because they need to raise They need wins and a lot of money. And Klobuchar, on that tightrope, started to get slippery, and it was clear she was about to fall off. And as she was going, she grabbed Pete Buttigieg's ankle.
I disagree.
Both went.
I'm supporting Bernie. I think he eviscerated her.
Yes, okay. Why? Why? Maybe he eviscerated her, okay? But, you know, when I was at my kids' daycare and they were playing chess, if one of them won the chess game by, you know, like just moving all their characters around and said, I won, right? Who cares? Right. It was nice.
Well, he needs her. He needs her.
Ill.
Okay. He needs her out of his lane. Right.
It isn't going to happen.
Well, we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see. I love how we're debating both their lanes. Right. All right. What's your prediction here? What's going to happen in Las Vegas or Nevada on Saturday?
Well, this is my. I will argue that Elizabeth Warren took both their lanes. Right.
Okay.
She filled a lot of their space. I think.
All right. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Finish.
4. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to take a shot here, and you know it's really dumb to do it so close. I'm going to say Bernie Sanders in number one. Elizabeth Warren in number two. Joe Biden very competitive. Right. You know, someplace, and the 2, 2, 3 could be tough. I'm going to say. Okay, I'll be nice to you and say Buttigieg 4 and Klobuchar 5.
Okay.
That'd be my...
I think Harry Reid is probably secretly helping Biden.
I don't. I think he might secretly be helping Warren.
Okay, well...
That's just my theory.
We'll see. Okay.
But I think Biden does have a lot of capacity.
Right.
You know, there...
There's Teamsters out there and everything. Yeah. Okay, so I think Bernie, Biden, Warren, Buttigieg.
So we're pretty close.
Yeah.
It's on that number two. And here's the interesting thing, Sly. That isn't the story. The 1, 2, 3, 4, right? That's what the pundits will do. That's what, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know what the story is? How much Sanders wins by. Okay? If it's Sanders 34, 35, and then the number two, whoever it is, 18, 17, 15, you're starting to see something, if that happens. I'm not saying it will, but if that were to happen, then you're starting to see, you know, kind of that circumstance where Sanders is not just leading, he is, you know, clearly winning a strong victory, right?
Right.
Unlike New Hampshire, unlike Iowa. And B, he's so far ahead of the rest that the rest become kind of a pack unto themselves.
All right. We got to wrap it up there, and we didn't even get to the ridiculous focus on what a few people on the internet say. That's the most ridiculous thing. It's the dumbest thing ever. All right, John Nichols from the Capital Times and the Nation. Thanks for coming to SlysOffice.com.
Thank you.
SlysOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.